Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, a special day, Lord. Of course, every day is a special day. Every Sunday is a special day. It's another day, a new day God gives us to go about our daily tasks, to do the things that you allow us to do in this life, and yet to do those things that you command us to do in this life. And so today, as we come for this time, and our service is set aside to remember, we pray you'd help us do that, not only those who give us the freedom of our nation, but those who God has honored through the years to give their life for the cause of Christ. And therefore, we could know who it is to trust. We would know Jesus as Savior. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, first of all, and turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And I like to read down just one verse in this particular chapter. But to give you an insight, well, do a little paraphrasing. This chapter has to do with the Apostle Paul being given instructions about how the government is to be working for those who are under government. Verse 1 tells us to be subjected to the higher powers. And he said these powers are ordained by God. And he goes on and explains some of the things. He said that if we resist the powers, we resist the ordinance of God. He said they're given. Even though you have wicked rulers and you have wicked powers, you have good powers, and God set it up for the purpose that people could be protected and taken care of. And even sometimes in evil kings, there is a protection to some degree. But God wants us to know that whatever's there, he set up government. Now, he might have let some people like us choose our government in the sense of voting, but he's the one who set the organization, and he did it for a purpose that whereas a multitude of people in a culture, or in a nationality, or a country, whatever, would have protection to some degree. He said in verse 4, they're ministers of God for that which is good. But in verse 5, he said, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, that for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Now verse 7 is where our text is coming from. Render therefore to all their duties, as he just said here in these first few six verses. He says, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Honor to whom honor is my text this morning for title. If you look with me also in Luke chapter 20 and down about verse 25, this is also recorded in Mark chapter 12, verse 17. Jesus said, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God. Also in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you look there with me, down about verse 17, you find that God says this, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I want to speak a few minutes to us on the subject, honor to whom honor is due. I read where there was a husband came home from work one day, and he told his wife, he said, I have learned today that you must honor me. And she said, where did you learn that at? He said, the Bible says you got to honor me. She said, well, I don't know where the Bible says in me honoring you. He said, it does. I think it's over there somewhere we're talking about submitting. That means honor. She said, will you tell me how I'm supposed to honor you? He said, I'm going to tell you the day. Tomorrow when I come home, he said, I expect my food on the table. I expect to be cooked what I want to eat. I expect to have a good dessert beside of that. And he said, I want you to know, tomorrow night, you will have my clothes ironed out, pressed for me to wear the next day. And that's how you can honor me. And he said, what I'm going to do, starting tonight, he said, I'm going to go in there and take my bath. And he said, when I come out, I want to let you to know that, and you're going to actually dress me, and you're going to comb my hair before I get ready to go to bed. And she said, after that, he said, guess who is going to do the dressing and combing the hair? And she'd had just about all she could stand. She said, probably the undertaker. Well, we're not talking about that honor. We're talking about an honor that God is talking about here, and I pray that God will bless us together. Ladies and gentlemen, Memorial Day is a day set aside to remember those who gave their lives for the freedom that we have today. I don't think we would be here where we're at like we are today had not been for those who gave their life for us. So there's a lot of things that have happened that would have took our freedom away from us down through the years had not we had a country like we have. And I want to start by honoring all armed services veterans. I still say we owe a great debt to those who pour their time in the service and those who gave their life for the cause of Christ. No one is really sure when or where Memorial Day actually got started. I understand there's probably 24 cities across the country that claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. But I do know this, that General John Logan, National Commander of the Great Grand Army of the Republic, originally recognized and observed this day when flowers were placed on the grave of both Union and Confederate soldiers in Arlington National Cemetery on May the 30th, 1868. After World War I, the observance of expanding to remember all brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom in war, we come together here today to remember. I think about as Americans, we rejoice in the freedom that we celebrate. We rejoice in joy and what we enjoy on Memorial Day. I think about Memorial Day for is important for three reasons. When we come together to celebrate this day, how do we go about celebrating it? We celebrate it, first of all, by remembering the past. And many of you have members, I'm sure. If I'd have someone to stand today and say, give us someone in the past that give their life for our country, I'm sure you could tell me exactly who it is. It might have been a granddad, a mother, or granddad, or great-granddad, or somewhere in the past, probably somebody in here has had someone who gave their life for this country down the road somewhere or another. And then we have rejoicing. We rejoice in the fact that we're free. And then the third thing, we ring out the news of freedom for Americans. These are the way that we can celebrate this wonderful day. Now, I have 6 points to this, and three of these are up front, and three of these has to do with America, and three has to do with Christianity. First of all, let's look at, if you will, together, and when you think about as Americans, we're remembering the day. I don't mean just to be trying to show off, I mean in our hearts, this morning early, and I'm sure if you had any thought about what this day meant, and you had, especially if you had a loved one that gave their life for this country on the foreign field somewhere or another, it always amazes me how we'll go and help people out in countries. And yet when we help them out, it seems like that when they get back, they seem to try to want to destroy us. I'm amazed. I never understood. I'm perplexed how in the world a person would want to leave their country and come here and live. And come here and live. And because they want freedom, they like what we've got. And then when they get here, instead of them changing to what we want and what we've got, they want us to change what they had. If we wanted what they had, we'd try to went there. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, our forefathers did a good job in our Constitution. Our forefathers did a good job in the laws of our land in those early days. And why in this particular day we see so much changing going on, I don't understand at all. But I know this, as Americans, we remember the brave soldiers who sacrificed their lives defending this nation. You go back in the Civil War, according to the count, about 498,000 Northern soldiers were killed. There was 133,000 soldiers from the South that was killed. In World War I, there was 116,000 that died. In World War II, there was 407,000 soldiers that died. In the Korean War, there was about 54,000 that died. In Vietnam, there was about 58,000 that died. In Desert Storm, probably one of the best records we've had, only had 148 that died. I think that was God's hand on that, don't you? And whatever happened there, of course, I know God's hand has been all of this, I believe, because we're still here today because of the grace of God and because of his concern about this nation being that which is the last front as far as Christianity is concerned across this world. Go to Iraq, and it's over 4,000 plus have died there so far. And many other places on this planet, you find there are people who've given their life for our freedom today. More than 1 million Americans have died in wars around the world fighting, ladies and gentlemen, for the freedom that we enjoy in this country today. And yet, no matter what people may say, it's still the best place in the world to live. Even though now we're seeing more problems in the streets of our country today, in our towns and cities, than ever before, as far as the situation of trying to disrupt things and so forth. So as Americans, we remember, and we do that today. I remember, in my case, you heard me say, I remember first time I looked at down at the museum in Smithfield. It was on my dad's side. It was on his side that I think it was his, I don't exactly anyhow, on his family side that he was the first soldier to sign up in Johnson County for the South in the Civil War. And they have a thing down there, a monument for that, a picture of it down in Smithfield. But not only as Americans do we remember, as Americans we rejoice. We rejoice for the freedom that we have in this country. I rejoice the day that you and I can come here and worship God freely so far without any reservation whatsoever and without any trying to stop us. I'm afraid we're losing that now, ladies and gentlemen. But right now, there's Christians across this country. If they worship, they can't worship like you and I worship. They have to worship in a place that no one else knows except those. Or if they do, they have to worship on guard all the time, afraid somebody's going to come in and disrupt their worship simply because they will worship the God of this Bible. And this is where we're living at. You wouldn't think we'd have that today, but we have that on this planet. As Americans, we rejoice over what? We have the freedom to vote. We have the freedom to debate who we should vote for or who we should not vote for. We have the freedom, ladies and gentlemen, to debate, to talk about those we vote for. We have the freedom to poke fun at those who are running for office or to say what we want to say out of peace for those who lose. We can say our piece. In other words, God has given us a freedom in our day, seemingly, to say about anything one wants to say, except use Jesus' name like it should be used. And what a sad state that we live in a country that because of what Christ has done, and because of God and His plan through His Son, no doubt, brought this country about, and looking at the history down through the years to be where we are today. We have freedom to preach God's Word freely. We also, ladies and gentlemen, come and assemble together as a Christian and worship God that we love. There are many places on the face of the earth today that's not like America. As a matter of fact, most places are not like America. We have a freedom that most countries do not have. In Washington, D.C. stands the Capitol building. We call that Capitol of the United States of America. The crowning piece on top of the rotunda is known as the Freedom Lady. Not back just a couple of 3 years ago, my family came through there and we stopped and went through the Capitol, first time I'd been in a number of years. It was placed there back in 1863. She stands about 20 feet tall on the dome of that building. And there's a crest of stars around her face, and there's a shield of stars and stripes in her left hand. This lady came from Rome back in 1863. At that time, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, as it was headed here to be put in its place, a great storm came up, according to the story. And the captain ordered, because of the storm, all the cargo that possibly could be thrown overboard to lighten the boat, lest the ship itself would sink due to the heavy load in that storm. And the soldiers, all of a sudden, began to cry, "Let's throw this statue overboard. Let's throw this statue overboard." And the captain hollered, "No, never." And he said these words, "We will flounder before we throw freedom away." And so the Freedom Lady today is saved and stands above the dome today in our Capitol because those men knew it stood for something that probably some people today don't understand what it stands for. Ladies and gentlemen, freedom is a wonderful thing when you don't have it. And it's a wonderful thing, a great thing when you do have it. And we take it for granted sometimes. And so, likewise today, we can enjoy the freedom because of the men and the women who stood and fell in defense of this great nation. Not only as Americans do we find ourselves remembering, not only as Americans we find ourselves rejoicing, but as Americans we find ourselves ringing out the message of freedom. Our country tries its best where it's been to go and help countries so they could establish a means of freedom to vote and put majority choices into office and find they lose it about as fast as they get it these days. One freedom, symbol of freedom in America is the Liberty Bell. It hangs in the historical district of Philadelphia. How many here has ever seen that bell? Yes, many of us. Wouldn't be good sometimes if you even go around Philadelphia, go by. It's an interesting trip to go by and look at that and look at the history that's there. It's one of the most, its most famous ring was July the 8th, 1776. On that day, it rang out summons in citizens to hear the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence by Colonel John Nixon from the Tower of Independence Hall. How many has ever seen that? I've actually seen it demonstrated there to read out the Declaration of Independence. And on that bell, Leviticus 25:10, is engraved on the side, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. And I say to you, thank God this morning we come together as Americans to actually remember what those have done before us. We come rejoicing in the fact that we have this freedom, and we come with a message to this world that this freedom can be had by any nation if they let the people have it and do the voting and put people in positions that they would like to have as far as majority. But then, just as much so as I understand our remembrance, and much so as I understand our rejoicing, and much as I understand ring out the news of freedom that we have in America, there's another freedom we need to look at in Christianity. God has set us free. And therefore, to enjoy freedom from a country is a wonderful thing. And I'm glad I can understand today that you can take freedom away as far as a country is concerned, but when you're in Jesus Christ, no one can take that freedom away. And therefore, you can serve like what Paul said in Romans chapter 13, like we ought to serve even under adverse circumstances. And so, as a Christian, we also remember some things. The Bible teaches us much about that. The Bible is full of memories. The word remember and remembrance and memorial are found more than 230 times in God's holy word. God told Israel to remember the Passover. He told her to remember the flight out of Egypt. He told her to remember crossing the Red Sea. He told her to remember crossing Jordan and what they had to do there. He told them, remember where God has brought you from. Remember what happened in the wilderness when you had nothing to eat and I fed you. Remember where you got the water when you had no water. They had a lot to remember for, and God told them to remember. But you know, Jesus Christ also has said that we are to remember Him, and we do that through communion. And we find communion is our way of ever so often during a year's time to stop and remember what Jesus had done for us. That's the reason the Bible-believing churches have a communion table we have right here. On the front of that, do this in remembrance of me, is on there to remind us why we should have communion. I can't understand why anybody would be saved and never take communion. Now, if you take it unworthy, but you know, some say, well, that's the reason I don't take it. I don't want to take it unworthy. Well, let me ask you something. Would it be better to get rewarded and take it than disobey God and not take it? And so, communion is very important in our particular life today. God established the Lord's Supper in a memorial to His crucifixion. And God said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, not only do we see that Christians, we remember, many have sacrificed, I'm talking about Christians, many have sacrificed and gave their lives for the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if some people weren't willing to do that, you and I probably never got saved. Somewhere down the road, somebody stood in a place and faced death and in turn gave their life for the cause of Christ that would give energy to others to keep going on because they realized this thing that God has promised is real even at the time of death itself. God established the Lord's Supper, and He also teaches us to keep that. Then as Christians, we remember that we rejoice. Why? We have a freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died in order to set us free from sin, from the law, from death, hell, and the grave. What an amazing thing. I recently was thinking about, had a chance to ride on a 747 back a number of years ago, going over to the Holy Land. And you think about sometimes this big jet. You look at it and you wonder how in the world it gets off the ground. Huge, monstrous type of an airplane. And when you stand beside of this 747 jet, it's so massive in weight and size, it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, that it's impossible to break the law of gravitation when it goes down the airport way. But when those engines begin to really explode on each side of those wings, and when you find the combined engine power and the law of aerodynamics kick in, that 747 jet lifts itself to 40,000 feet, traveling at 600 miles an hour. And it stayed right there as long as those engines worked and the law of aerodynamics was in motion. The question is, was the gravitation pull on it right on? Yes, it was. But there's a higher power, if it's consistent, that can overcome the gravitation pull of this earth. We've seen that in our day to even go out into space. Gravity is still pulling on the plane, but as long as those engines are working, and as long as they obey the laws of aerodynamics, it is free from the bond of gravitation of this earth. Now that helps me to understand. When Paul said in Romans 8:2, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. By the way, the law of the Spirit of Christ in the new birth will continue to deliver us from the law of sin and death, and we don't have to ever worry about it failing. Amen. A 747 may fail, and some people may ride it for years and years and one day lose their life. What an amazing thing when God lets us see some things in this life and get a spiritual scene of what He's done. And realize when He does it, it's permanent. And so therefore, Jesus died in order to set us free from sin, from the law, from sin, from death held in the grave. The truth is, the only way to experience genuine freedom in life is through Jesus Christ. In Luke 2:52, Jesus, the Bible says, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that amazing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, I think sometimes we minimize, because of our fickle mind, just who God is. God in the flesh, He came beyond the bounds of the spiritual world into this physical world to be born in a mother's womb as a little baby. But ladies and gentlemen, never forget that was God in the flesh. Oh, how He must have loved us to put His Son, God Himself, in the flesh. Whereas a babe, He couldn't even take care of Himself. As a babe, He had to have the mother's milk. As a babe, they had to change His diapers. Ladies and gentlemen, what an amazing thing. Don't ever forget when you come around Christmas time and you see that little story about that wonderful baby. He's not just a baby. He's God in the flesh. That overwhelms me. That God would go to such a place because He loved us, and in His plan and purpose, He can never redeem us unless He did it this way. And then for God in the flesh to go, as we see in Luke when He's 12 years old, and the scripture talks about that He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You can't explain that's God in the flesh. But what we're seeing is this. He's God in the flesh, but you can't teach Him anything. It's just instant knowledge. The thing about God, to explain it, God knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And yet He localized Himself in a little baby's body and grew up as a man. There at 12 years old, it showed He had instant knowledge, evidently, in the sense that everything He did, there's nothing to deviate, nothing to impurity about it whatsoever, complete, perfect knowledge. And yet, He increased that as He needed it. Certainly as a little baby, He wouldn't be able to know as God in a body of flesh that He made Himself a servant to. He made Himself a servant. He took on no reputation. Isn't that an amazing thing? He was God in the flesh, but He didn't take His reputation. He took on reputation of the flesh. So there He had to grow like a babe did to know what we went through. He had to grow like a little adult, a small child, junior, as an adolescent. He had to grow through He had to be 12 years old to grow, because He had to experience what we experience. And he could show us in humanity. That's the reason why. Don't come talk to me about no other Savior. Don't come talk to me about no other God. Because he's the only one. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. When you really understand what he's done for you, and God gives you an inside look beyond this life in the spiritual world to see something, it'll overwhelm you because you can't explain it. You try and you can't explain it, but you know it's beyond your explanation. But it's real. It's real. And I thank God for that. And as Christians, we ring out the message of Christ. We take our freedom seriously. We take it joyfully. And Paul reminds us that we all have the common need for the free gift that God gives in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God makes all people right with him who put their trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He does for us what we could not do for ourselves, and he proved that God would ask us to do something that he could not do. And since we did not do it, evidently when we fail, we could not do it. God came in a body of flesh to show us that he could do what he asked his own self to do. When he asked us, he himself could do what he'd asked us to do, his own self, I should say, as God in the flesh. And therefore, I know without a doubt that this thing's going to last forever. No doubt. As Americans, we remember, we rejoice, we ring out the message of freedom. Also, as Christians, we remember, we rejoice, and we ring out the message of freedom that's in Jesus Christ. And I thank God we can do that today. I run across a poem that went something like this, for Americans, but also I add for Christianity. For Americans in Christianity, because either way, in Christianity, those who have gone on and been in for a while, veterans. And for those who are Americans who've been in there for years are veterans, and many have died as veterans. Once you get in there for a period of time, you become a veteran. And so I say this as a veteran of American, as American and Christian veteran. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who gave us the freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who gave us the freedom of the press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who gave us the freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who gave us freedom to assembly. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. To the veteran we salute today. To the veterans, we thank you for who you are. To the veterans, you, the sacrifice that you've given for us, we're thankful for that. And to the veterans, we honor you this day. And as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we remember, as Americans first, we remember, we rejoice, and we give the good news of what this country offers for those who come here, but don't change it. Can we make some things better? Yes, we probably can, but evidently, we got the best for people who want to leave what they've got to come here, so we don't need theirs to make it better, amen? We need to hit better than just to do and keep up what we already got as far as this country is concerned. As Christians, we also remember, rejoice, and give out the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you, then it was Jesus Christ who paid the sin debt. It was Jesus Christ that came and paid the sin debt that we could go free from condemnation. It was Jesus Christ who made it possible for us to become a child of God. When I read what John says in 1 John, oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, it just overwhelms me because I don't take that lightly. I don't take it lightly. That means simply he has to be first. And I was working on this message now, and I told my wife yesterday, we were talking, I said, you know, amazing, a few weeks ago I made this statement. Those men who died over in Egypt, I don't know why they have burnt, but God has just brought to my mind. I cannot get them off my mind. Those 17 Egyptians who died for the cause of Christ. And you heard me say, I wonder, Lord, I think I'm pretty strong, but I've not been tempted yet to someone to put a gun in my face and say, you reject Jesus Christ and live, or don't reject him and die. Have you? And I asked the Lord a number of times. Another morning I was praying. I said, God, I want you to, I just don't understand this. I wish you'd fill my mind. Help me understand a little bit about this thing, how a person thinks he would do that But you don't know where you do that or not. Why? None of us been tempted that way as of yet. And I said, Lord, just give me some of my mind to help my mind understand this thing, because I'd hate to think I'd served you 54 years and suddenly come to the end of the way and even make any kind of statement to sidetrack what I had said through the years about you. And I told my wife, all of a sudden, just seemed like just my mind went to thinking. And I listen, God don't talk to us verbally, but boy, I believe, praise God, I believe he fills our mind when we really want it. And he does it by studying it. And all of a sudden, just thoughts came to my mind. I told Barbara, I said, you know, what really blessed me, God said in my mind, this is what went through my mind. Son, you have to live for me before you die for me. And it can't be halfway. It can't be live for you 25% and 75%. You have to live for me. And when you live for me, and you know, it sounds simple, but it's simple. It's scripture when you get to the end of this thing. He says, when you live for me like you do, you die to self. So in essence, if you're living for me like you should, you already died to self. Be no trouble to die for me when you die for self. What he was saying to me, son, is anything takes the place of what I want you to do, then you've not died completely to self yet. I don't care where it's at in your life. I've been serving God, you know, 50 years, and suddenly something takes place that were in turn that I do anything other than what God had me have to do first, then I have not died to self. But if you die to self completely, you have no trouble dying for me when you stand at that point. By the way, I believe that, folks. Because if I don't die to self, I'll never 100% serve him like I should. I believe it all my heart. For all those saints who've stood by the stuff all these years, we honor them also on this day. For all those saints that give their life for our blessed Savior, we honor and remember them this day. And that says to me, those 17 soldiers that we honor in Egypt had given themselves to God. And when they had a chance to say no and live, they said, no, I've already died. I've been crucified with Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a secret that we need to learn as a child of God. It's more than just religion. It's more than a cloak of religion. You can put that on, take it off any day you want to. But as a life, that God lets us go about our daily tasks, but in the things, our thoughts is, Lord, everything that I do is not an end. It's a means to an end, because my end is to serve you until I get home. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I want you to know, I rejoice in the fact that I can tell you the good news. The bear that is a hell, the world laughs at, but it don't change the pit of hell. To bear, there's a lake of fire yonder in the future. In the book of Revelation, we're all going to live for eternity. It don't change the fact, because they rebel against that and say it's not there. But when I have to stand and say with a heart and hope I can show it with a broken heart that there's a hell, there's a wrath, there's a penalty, and God has pronounced it upon sin, I'm glad I can turn and say, listen, but Jesus paid the sin debt. And undergird that with the grace of God and say, if you'll come to him, he'll take your place. And you can know what it is to rejoice, and you know what it is to remember, and you know what it is for those who give their life as veterans for the cause of Christ, that you might be saved. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day, for these men and women that have given part of their life dedicated towards serving for you. And Lord, some went to Ultimate and gave their life. We remember back a number of years ago in the early years of our church, a couple young men who died. Remember having a funeral, sent them home in a box. Lord, don't ever let us take that lightly. And families that are torn apart because their daughter or son served in the service and gave their life. dear Father, again, as we come and think about, as Americans, what we should be and should not be this day, would you bless every family? Bless those soldiers of men and women in different places that are separated from the family this moral weekend. Might be if the Lord don't come back for the church before another year goes by, they'll be standing beside a gravesite somewhere or another. Not because they did anything wrong, but they just obeyed their country and went to a place that they say, go and serve. Lord, this world has a lot of evil people in it. And many times there has to be decisions made. Because this earth now is not like it used to be. Lord, this earth is smaller now because of traveling. It's not that it's decreased that much in size, but traveling has made it shrink to some degree because we can hear things now in a moment. What happens the farthest point of this earth, where years ago it might have took years to get to us. So we understand that. And I pray if one listens to my voice, it may be somebody that's listening to some of the hospitals around, or somebody may be looking at Ustream, their father in a VA hospital somewhere, wherever they're at, I pray they see our church is praying for them today. I pray that they see that we rejoice as we remember of those veterans doing what they did, Lord, and upgave their life for this country. Help us not forget that. And then we come to you, Lord, and go by Calvary. In our mind, we look up at the old rugged cross and know that Jesus died there. Not because he had to, but because God made him sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Lord, never let us forget that. As we remember, let us rejoice. As we rejoice, may we go into this world with the message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We rejoice this day, Father, for our country. We remember it before you, the throne of grace, in prayer. And we rejoice because of our Savior and the Holy Spirit that took abode in our heart the day we trusted Christ as Savior. And we rejoice, dear Lord, to have the privilege to be used of God by His Spirit to get this wonderful gospel out to a world that many times don't want it, but it's the only thing they have that would deliver them. Would you honor yourself today now if the message has been preached? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.